KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Oh my, good evening everybody, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, my name is Alon.
And my name is Ari!
My name is Molly! Woo!
This is the Super Excited, We're So Incredibly Happy to Be Here show!
Oh yeah, I'm so excited!
Woo!
ChatterboxGameShow.com is our website. Ari told me I had to be really excited this show, so I'm being really excited this show. Molly, how about you?
I'm super pumped!
Ari, how about you?
I'm doing totally awesome.
That's why we're so totally excited for ChatterboxGameShow.com. We do a game show here every week here on KFNX. Give us a call, 866-536-1100. Go to our website, ChatterboxGameShow.com.
And game show in the sense of video games, not press your luck. just in case there's
big money,
any...
Big money. Stop!
Any big...
I said stop!
Game show fans
okay,
out there.
Okay, so we got so much to talk about this week. Oh my God, we got emails all over the place. A week ago, I read an email about some guy being a total... What can I say?
Jerk
He's not
face.
Near the buzzer. Douchebag! emailing us. And that guy, you know, he's just been stirring. And so we're going to relive this lesson. Kids, don't be jerks in emails. Think about what you say, because people are upset when you say things. And if you do it in person, you get punched. Not by me, because I'm a pacifist, but somebody else who is less civilized may have the urge to punch you in the face.
Like me.
So he's written several times to apologize to Molly, and that's fantastic, but she has never accepted the apology. She's still very angry.
I have not received an apology.
Well, he didn't attack you, did he?
No, but, you know, maybe. No. He should give me one anyway.
No. And so what's funny here is he was happy that we didn't mention his name. We kept him anonymous, and he's begging to keep himself anonymous. So I will at least honor that we don't... Because we don't want him getting beaten up. I don't want to be the guy who incites violence on someone else in the world. So
you don't want me to know that information.
I've kept this email relatively private, you know, except for the whole radio bit. anyway, so this I won't go on for long about this, since people who didn't listen to the last show are just lost.
They
so.
Should listen to the last show as well.
You should. But suffice it to say, don't write emails that say nasty things about people on the show.
Unless they deserve it.
Well, yes, unless they do. In which case, feel free to just rip at myself or Molly or Ara all day long.
No, I've been waiting years for someone to rip into me. I'm so disappointed. I can't even tell you guys.
Don't tell me it hasn't happened. When you read our iTunes reviews, your eyes fell like 6 inches.
Yes.
Without your skull moving.
Oh, that's a scary mental.
This is true, but I've been told once that if people verbally abuse you due to some creative work you've done, you must be doing something right.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are of the opinion that passionate feelings are good regardless of what direction they're in, right? As long as people feel strongly about us, whether good or bad, it's better than them being indifferent.
Well, it's better than them not knowing about us, I suppose.
I guess that's true, too. Well, if you have something positive to say, feel free to go onto iTunes and rate us highly. If you have something negative to say, you know, just remember what your mom said about not saying things that are mean. So, talking about video games, you're upset about this Xbox Live thing.
I'm upset about myriad things today.
Well, I'm used to that.
And it's lucky for all of you, because we have a show tonight, so I can express my dissatisfaction.
I'm waiting with bated breath for Ara to be angry about something.
Where do I start? There's so many things. Just you tell me, where do I start?
Let's start at the lowest level. I want to build up to this aggression that I'm moving forward to.
So you're asking me what's pissing me off the least, huh?
Yes.
That's tough, man. That's real tough.
Well, then let's go with the Xbox Live costing more thing.
I'm so pissed off about this. Let me tell you.
I'm pissed off. I just...
Okay. So, first of all, there's a lot of news floating around the internet about how they're hiking the price of Xbox Live. Okay. Now,
do you want Molly to give us the details before you go into the opinion?
Okay, give us the details, Molly.
So, before, the Xbox Live Gold membership was $49.99 if you bought it through the Xbox Marketplace, I believe.
Or anywhere.
Or really anywhere. Now they're going to be pumping it up for another $10. It's going to be $59.99. And, I mean, it just goes back to what
$60.
I was... $60. Well, yeah, yeah, it's $60. What I was saying before about how it's unnecessary to spend $50 in the first place for, you know, something that should be free. And now it's going to be $60.
This comes from our PS3 fangirl.
Yes, okay. It does.
Is everybody sitting down now?
You know that PlayStation now charges for their online, right?
They don't charge for it. They have stated
that... If you want
that,
it to not suck.
Well, no, they've stated that it will always be a free online service. It's just got different perks. My friend, he actually, I believe he's listening to the show right now. His name is Andrew. He bought the Plus. It's PlayStation Plus. It basically...
And within the first month, they cut back what they're actually providing.
Well, it's more like a rewards type thing. Like, I think you pay into it so that you'll get discounts for stuff in the future, like discounts on games and...
And, like, the core magazine, because that's really important.
It is to some people.
All right. Let's cut to Ara. Ara, you're chomping at the bit.
Okay. Now, both of you guys are sitting down.
I am, in fact, sitting down.
Okay. So, okay. First of all, I get this email, right, from Microsoft saying, hey, we're raising the price, but because we value you so much as a customer, we're going to offer you a way to lock in, okay, I'm going to come back to those words, lock in a reduced rate if you order a gold subscription right now, okay?
An additional year of gold that you've already ordered.
So
you're already a member.
So
if you extend your membership.
Disclaimer, I do not have a gold membership at this very moment.
Oh, this went to you as a silver member.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, so number one, okay, they're not locking in S, okay? Because they're offering
me... Because you're not paying anything right now.
Right. They're offering me 1 year at $39... Okay, I'm not going to do that one set BS. $40, okay? And then later, when I renew, it's going to be $60 forever.
What if you have multiple years right now? Is it $40 for every year?
Well, if I mean, ostensibly, you can order up to like 3 years in advance.
You know,
and
what's fantastic,
you can buy
actually,
$40 a year for
you don't
all
want
those.
To pay attention to this penny pinching stuff, but it's kind of like saying it's $40, and when you buy 4,000 years, you get one free.
It's kind of like that. Okay, so that's number one.
I fully anticipate to be playing the Xbox for the next 4,000 years.
Secondly, okay, this is the verbiage in the email. You're telling me because I'm so valued, you're raising the price on me. Okay? Exhibit one. Okay, exhibit two. That's right. Okay, Edar.
Oh, these, God. We can never use them as a reference because they're so...
These buttheads at Edar, okay? Okay, so apparently there's an Edar analyst, and I'm just going to say his name.
What's Jesse
name?
Divnish?
Yes, Jesse Divnish.
When you say
okay.
There's a Edar analyst, you mean there's the one.
Okay, so the one. Okay, so first of all, right, aren't analysts supposed to discuss financial matters, not how cool is this for the consumer matters? Why is Jesse Divnish telling us consumers that the Xbox Live price hike is, quote, an incredible value? Do you not think that we can decide on our own whether the value is incredible, or maybe perhaps we can choose another word to describe the type of value?
He likes to lick the underside of the Microsoft
people. Is this not a complete shill for Microsoft?
Well,
this is a planted story as far as I'm concerned in the media, okay? Not only that.
Let's just say allegedly, because I don't want to get sued as the producer of the program.
Okay.
Let's limit our liability here.
Look.
As much as I think Jesse's a jerk off for coming up with this whole Edar thing and sending out press releases
right.
and claiming he's an analyst after a year of college.
Now, okay, so here's some other things that Jesse
also
says.
Also allegedly, I don't know how long he limits
it. It's not over, okay? Now, yes, disclaimer, right? Everything that's spewing out of my mouth right now is my opinion and nobody else's.
Your biased opinion, yes.
Yes, very biased. You know what else is very biased, right? So he keeps going. He says that he starts giving reasons. This is insane. This is like an analyst is saying this? This doesn't make sense. An analyst, now he's giving reasons, right, for why it's such a good value. And he references the fact that if you take into account inflation, it's the same price because inflation over the past 8 years since the service started has been about 2.some odd percent, which actually very nicely, accurately accounts for the price change, right? When has product like this risen according to inflation?
Well, not only that, this is a technology product which reduces its costs over time.
Exactly.
So it should be getting cheaper.
So this thing smacks even more of a shill.
Yeah, there was big R&D expense at the beginning, which has been recouped at
this
point.
It can only be cheaper for them to continue to provide the service.
Yeah. Now, they do need to add more servers and all that over time. However, those servers get less expensive, and the networking involved gets less expensive. So in reality, my educated opinion is that the cost to them has actually gone down over time.
Right. So having said all of this, I'm sure it's very clear to everybody how I feel about this price hike, but I want to ask you guys both, why do you think they're doing this? Why do you think they're doing it now, and why do you think they're doing it, period? It can be the same answer.
Personally, I think it's because probably more people now more than ever own an Xbox, and they're seeing more people now more than ever using the online service. So I would assume that, I mean, they obviously see that they can make more money off of that. If more people are using the service, why not hike it up another $10?
Okay, so total greed city,
yeah.
In other words. Okay,
well,
Alon?
Yeah, I believe that's Microsoft.
Well, yeah, it's greed city, but let me give you the business reasoning behind it.
Please!
Right? So at first, when you have a new product and you have to entice people to use your new product, you have to have an accessible price, which is why they have the monthly service, the three-month service, the year, whatever, and $50. Whether people think that's cheap or not, it was a price point that they felt was acceptable, right? And then as soon as you get enough people, it's very much like the first hit's free scenario.
Right.
Where
the first hit's $50.
Now they feel they've got the market relatively saturated. Like all the people who are going to be getting on Xbox Live have probably already bought their system, right? Beyond that, if they do get it, they're going to want to play with their friends anyway, so they have more reason to get into Live. Whereas when people are first jumping on board, they needed incentive. So I'm actually surprised that Microsoft didn't offer things like PlayStation Plus, like get three free Xbox Live Arcade games when you buy a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was surprised from the beginning they didn't offer that. But now that they have a relatively saturated market for something that, you know, if you don't pay for it, your name goes away and you lose your achievement points and all that jazz, they have freedom to raise price over time because they have their customers locked in regardless of price.
Right.
On top of that, $60 matches the cost of a game very nicely. So you just say it's the cost of one game a year, and you get the service for all the games.
Okay. Here's some interesting coincidences that may be more than just coincidences, right? Notice this is happening right before not only this Christmas season, right, but also
before Halo.
Well, there's that. There's like several huge releases, the results of which are very uncertain, like a certain other product Microsoft is releasing very soon.
True.
Yeah, you're talking about Kinect.
Yeah. That's one thing. I don't know.
I don't know how related it is to Kinect. I think it's just over time they knew they were going to raise the price.
No, they're not going to. They realize Kinect sucks. They're not going to make any money off it, and they have to ameliorate that some way.
Well, if you talk to Rich, they'll make tons of cash off it.
Well, Rich says a lot of things, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Molly, what do you think of Rich?
Love the guy.
All right. Well, we got 2 seconds. We'll be right back, folks.
We are back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, where we talk about video games, not game shows.
But, I mean, we also talk about the industry.
And the industry, and things that piss me off.
Like pricing discrepancy.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to order the gold. That's what I'm not going to do.
That's fine. Well, then you and I will not play games against each other.
Yeah. We'll play other games.
Now, you were telling me earlier about how you beat my score in Castlevania.
Yeah.
But you're only using silver, so your score can't even go on the leaderboards, can
it? Oh, no, it can. We just can't play online simultaneously.
Okay.
But we can.
It's so weird what they
decided. We can play asynchronously. That's a hot new word. We're doing asynchronous
multiplayer.
Dude,
it totally is. You know why? Because I just started playing Words with Friends today, and which you two are not iPhone users and not familiar.
Yeah.
Although you can do it on more than the iPhone. It's just asynchronous Scrabble. Virtual asynchronous Scrabble, just without the name.
Because asynchronous activities are very underrated, I might add.
I'm excited. The thing is, I only started a game, and I sent one over to my buddy, and he hasn't played yet, so and I don't have a lot of friends playing. My wife's like, yeah, I'm an English major, but I don't know how to spell anything. I don't like Scrabble. I'm not good at it.
Yeah, I'm not too good at Scrabble either.
Your wife says she's not good at Scrabble?
Right?
I'm so disappointed in her.
Right?
I always get like 48 Qs.
Well, no,
Wait, that's like getting like five jacks in poker.
Yeah. I made one move today and my letters get, I was lucky, you get seven letters in the game, right? Just like Scrabble. And then I made the first move because I created the game and I used six of the seven letters in my first move. So that was fantastic. But they got replaced by like two A's, three E's, and a joker.
Oh, that
so
sucks.
Now I've got, can't do anything, right? My next move is going to be like M-E.
Yeah, the big super move finish is when you use all of them.
Yeah.
All seven of your.
I got six out of seven.
There was a rogue G
I couldn't use.
It's like the super move in Street Fighter that you've never seen before.
Yeah. Okay. So what else? We talked about Live and how you're upset about Live, and it's a relatively sound business decision. It pisses us all off, but like we're locked in there for years. We're not about to turn it off.
Yeah. Well, I'm not locked in, and I'm not going to take their bait.
Yeah.
So
that's there. Like I said, the market's been pretty much saturated. Whoever's going to get it has it.
Like, I wonder,
people who want a 360 bought the 360, and people who want the Live got the Live.
I wonder if our caller wants to respond to my ranting about this issue.
Or if perhaps something else.
Or perhaps something
maybe he's else. Calling about the fact that we're going to be at PAX this weekend.
Perhaps.
That I'm going to be at PAX. Maybe. You guys, I guess, aren't going, but that we're going to have that show going on.
So. Maybe he's calling about how awesome UAT is.
That might also be it. All right, let's ask him. Can we get Aaron on the line here? I'm not manning the boards.
Is there okay? Our engineer has been sacked. Apparently,
engineer is just sort of sitting there. All right. Well, I'm gonna try and figure out this phone.
Let's see what that button does.
Aaron.
No, I don't think that's it.
No.
Well, I can hear like both of us in total stereo effect.
Yeah, it's echo.
So That's it.
Oh, there's a person there.
Aaron, are you with us?
What? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What happened, man? You just forgot that we were taking your call? You didn't want to?
Oh, no. I was here waiting, and I was waiting for the introduction, waiting for the commercial.
So long.
Yeah.
We don't treat our callers very well. That's the problem. So what can we do for you? What are you calling? Do you want to respond to Ara's rant about Xbox Live pricing?
Yeah, actually, I was on the Chatterbox board, and we were talking about the whole price increase, and actually one of the guys wanted to know, well, I had my own questions, but one of the guys wanted to know, did they like increase the friends list cap? Because apparently there was a cap. I don't know.
There was actually rumored that they were going to, or I don't want to say rumor. Molly might know more about this than I do.
I actually don't.
I heard they were raising, but I don't want to claim to be an expert here. And this is when I wish Rich were here, because he would definitely know this.
He would know. And I also don't know. And what was it? It's like 100?
It was... And still is, I think, 100.
Yeah.
But there's been talk about them raising it to 500.
Yeah.
And part of the reason the limit exists is to try and be compatible with old Xbox Live, like the original Xbox.
Yeah. Aaron, is this a problem for you? Like, are you playing Xbox Live with hundreds of people all the time, all different?
No. Actually, probably what I was originally calling about was that, like, I actually kind of underuse my gold account. Like, I literally just use it to play with other people, so I'm not sure like what all the gold is capable of doing.
Yes, and I also underuse it to the maximum extent, but go ahead.
You know, that's the key feature is playing with other people. So to give you an example, like my wife and I like to play the board game Catan. I talk about it all the time on the show, right?
That
game is pretty much worthless playing single player because the computer AI is just idiotic. So you want to play with other people, and you can't play with other people. Like, even if you have two Xboxes in the same house, you can't LAN it. It has to be over Live. And so you can't play that without a gold account. At least you can't have any fun with it without a gold account.
I think there are other things like Netflix.
Like,
can you use Netflix on Silver?
No, you can't.
No,
so there's Netflix and then like Facebook.
Still have to pay separately for Netflix, though.
Yeah. I mean, but you can still have the instant streaming to your 360 with that.
No, that actually pissed me off. I found that out recently because I have gold. And so I was like, I had my account logged into the Xbox in one room, and my wife wanted to watch Netflix in the bedroom on the other Xbox, and she couldn't. So she had to get an Xbox gold or a Live Gold account so that she could use Netflix in the bedroom. Even though she's already paying for Netflix, and I'm paying for a gold account. Like, and we could move it from room to room, but if we want to use them each at the same time or something. So
I'm shaking my head at this.
Yeah,
you guys can't see
shaking invisibly. There are other features. Like, from time to time, they'll release demos that are only available to gold members, and then, like, they'll become available to silver later. little things like that, or at least things that I consider are minor. But for the most part, it's just playing against other people. That's the key feature, which is strange to me that I'm willing to actually pay for that feature because I don't do it very often.
Hey, Aaron. I got a question for you.
Okay.
So there's actually a few other features that Xbox Live Gold provides. I'm going to read them off to you one by one, and then you tell me if you think, like, it's totally cool, you'll use it, or if, like, it's meaningless to you.
Well, he already says he doesn't use it, though.
Yeah, no, but here's the extra features. Okay, you ready, Aaron?
I'm ready.
Okay, we already mentioned Netflix. You going to use Netflix?
I do not, but my parents love it.
Okay. Well, your parents will also love paying extra. How about ESPN3?
No, I do not watch sports at all.
Okay. And also, you won't watch really old sports. Okay. How about Video Kinect?
What the hell is that?
Oh, well, you have to buy Kinect. That's $100.
When you get the Kinect, you can do video chatting. Which you can already do with the video camera accessory that came out years ago that nobody has.
Ara is sounding a lot like me.
Okay. Okay, there's few more, okay? Let's see. How about Last FM? Do you know what that is, Aaron?
I think that's some sort of radio thing, isn't it?
It says stream personalized music.
Yeah, it's
Pandora-ish for the Xbox.
Oh, cool. Oh, well, I have Pandora, and I have my iPod, so I...
Yeah, so totally useless. Okay.
Hey, no, hang on. Aaron, did you realize that Last.fm is currently available on the Xbox 360, so you can have that streaming out all sorts of personalized music right now?
I did hear about that, and, like, I think my brother might have done something, but we never use it at all.
That was one time I went over to Rich's house, and he's blaring, like, gangster rap. I'm like, where is this coming from? And I realize it's from Last.fm. And I wonder about his personalization.
Nice. Well, we record the Golga cast, if I can speak correctly. We record that at Rich's house, and then afterward, when we're all just kind of doing whatever, he'll usually
gangster rap.
He'll turn on the Last FM at that point and just have something playing in the background while, you know, people are going crazy all over the place. Yeah. So.
Okay, we got three more for you, Aaron. Okay, three more special features. Okay, we're 0-8, by the way, right now. Okay. So Facebook from your Xbox. How do you feel about that?
That's retarded.
I actually totally like it. I totally like it. I've only used it a couple times, but it's fun.
Okay.
Like, how do you operate the web browser with the Xbox 360?
No, it's a custom app for the 360. So it's like using it on your iPhone, which you might not have experience with, but it has its own menu system and stuff. But you can go see the pictures. You can stalk your old high school girlfriends and stuff and see their pictures on a big old 52-inch screen.
Okay.
Yeah, I've totally never done that.
Ready for the next one, Aaron?
Okay, let's do this.
Okay, Twitter. How do you feel about Twitter on Xbox?
I don't even have a normal Twitter, so meh.
Okay, so...
I guess, like, you can pause mid Red Dead Redemption and go, I just got my last bounty on Twitter, and then go back to the game.
I just skinned my horse.
Yeah, I don't think Red Dead totally do that. Has Twitter integration.
I just shot and skinned my horse. There we go.
I think maybe you'd have to quit Red Dead Redemption and then start up the Twitter thing.
What's the last feature?
Okay, so last feature. We're still 0-8. Get deal of the week discounts. Now, let me explain that to you, Aaron. What this means is that if you're a gold member, if you've paid for gold, once in a while, they'll offer you a discount on something.
Like other Xbox Live Arcade games or things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So now do you feel?
One final question before we go, Aaron. How are you listening to the program right now? Is it live on the radio or are you listening over internet stream?
I am listening to it on the radio, so it's kind of weird because I hear my own echo.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you very much for listening live on the radio. I didn't think anybody did that. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
All right, we're back for the second half of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Don't forget, 866-536-1100 is the number, just like Aaron. Aaron called. That was awesome. Very rare we get a live, local caller who's not one of our friends.
That's why we heard the echo. I was impressed that his radio, even though he was not considerate enough to turn off the radio, it at least had low enough volume that we couldn't tell that there was a ridiculous echo.
Yeah. Well, you know, an experienced radio show host would tell him to turn his radio down.
That's right.
But we didn't do that.
And insult him a few times and perhaps hang up on him.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Aaron, for listening and for calling, and I appreciate that. Before we move on, I, of course, need to introduce everyone to our fantastic sponsor, UAT. That's the University of Advancing Technology. They also have a website, uat.edu. You can learn about the programs they have to offer in terms of becoming a game designer, developer, maker, everything, like Ara does.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. You know, we don't really give your bio on the program very often.
Yeah, well, as much as apparently some people seem to think I love talking about myself, I actually don't love talking about myself.
If you read the iTunes reviews.
Yeah. Ara is he's shrouded in mystery. I don't know much about him myself.
I do have a checkered past. It's true.
Yeah. Mm. So it's basically Alon's a bum, Ara's a game designer, and Molly, not intern.
Not intern. You know, Colin is really upset with me that I've been upgraded kind of to co-host status. That's all he talked about.
That was the whole reason we did it, was specifically to upset him.
Oh, he's so upset.
It's to light a fire under his ass. He's supposed to be here, and he's supposed to be making us a new website, which I haven't assigned to him yet.
Colin, you'll understand it all when you're older.
Yeah, no, but I gave him a new assignment for Golgatron. We might be able to get some good video content on Golgatron. For those who don't know what that is, Golgatron.com is our more traditional website, not a podcast. Although they do a podcast over there as well.
Correct.
That's sort of our sister site. So go read stuff over there. You know, on occasion, Molly and I even write for it.
Yes, I've been writing a lot more for it, actually. So.
And I write for it about once every 2 years.
So, Molly, the topic that you wanted to discuss was the new Xbox controller. New Xbox 360 controller.
Yes.
They're nice enough to bring out right after I got the new Xbox.
And I'm going to be nice enough to shut up for a few minutes because I'm also pissed off. But go ahead, Molly, please.
I don't know if many of you remember me griping about the Xbox because I really don't like it too much. But after I got it all set up and ready to go, one complaint that I've always had about the Xbox is the controller. Whenever we go to Rich's to record the GolgaCast, we usually sit and play Street Fighter for about 30 hours afterward.
Molly kicks some Street Fighter ass, by the way.
I'm pretty good at Street Fighter.
Did she beat you?
She has beaten me. I've also beaten the pulpit of her.
Yes.
But
goes back and forth. Not like Killer Instinct.
Oh, that's true. You're right. You like Ryu, don't you?
Yes, yeah.
That's right.
Ryu.
That's right.
I definitely rail in Killer Instinct.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, you're going to have to face a very tough Ken one day.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
You should.
As Corey would say, he's got priority.
Yes, Ken does have priority over many things, but I digress. Back to the controller. So my main gripe about it was the D-pad. I hate the D-pad on the 360 controller.
Nothing new. Everybody hates the D-pad on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to talk about the old controller?
I want to talk about the old controller, but I want to talk about how I'm excited for the new controller, because the new controller adds, it's a transformer.
Excellent.
Did you watch the video?
Oh, I did.
Mr. Larry Herb, Major Nelson.
I did.
He was displaying this new controller where you can twist the D-pad and it raises the actual, you know, the 4-point directional pad from the weird like back whatever
the
it was
diagonals.
Before.
It raises the diagonals.
I gotta say, I didn't watch the video. I just saw the graphic where it showed like the before and after. It actually looks like the areas around the crossbar descend rather than the crossbar ascending.
No, the crossbar does not move at all. It's the diagonals that move.
So they fall down. They descend.
Well, or they go up depending on your perspective.
Well, if you're holding the controller upside down. No, the whole point is that the crossbar becomes more pronounced.
Yes. Right.
So that the areas around it descend away from your thumb.
Do you really want to get into this right now? Are you prepared?
I couldn't get it.
Well, I'm just going to say it's not going to make a difference.
Exactly.
Unless they make a different change to it that makes it tighter control.
This is what I don't understand, okay? It doesn't seem to change absolutely anything. The reason why the D-pad sucks on the Xbox controller is not because it has a round shape. The best D-pad in the world, which is the Japanese Sega Saturn D-pad, is actually one contiguous circular piece.
Yeah, it's a big disc with a crosshair sort of like etched into it. It's clear that there's the crosspad, but It's definitely a big circular piece.
Right. I'm going to turn the thing to make the diagonals go up and down? I don't understand how this is going to help me one way or the other.
Here's the thing. Here's what I will say. They're making a big deal out of the moving parts because that's what's most visible when you don't have the actual controller in your hand, where none of us can test it and actually see if it's better. But the fact is they know that it's bad and they're making an effort to improve it. So they probably, and I'm just giving them benefit of the doubt right now, they probably also made other changes internally to make it a better D-pad in general. Now, they haven't actually stated as such. My guess is that they did that because if they make this big change, this whole movable parts, which is a pain in the butt, mechanically speaking.
Right. It's all mechanical, isn't it?
And then you give it to users and they say, no, it still sucks. That would just be a huge waste of their time. Not to mention just from a marketing perspective, just a huge flop. Like we wouldn't trust them anymore. Why bother making a new product if it just blows again? So I suspect they've also made other improvements. It's just interesting that they haven't mentioned making any improvements other than the descending bits.
Yeah, well, they have made, the overall appearance of the new controller is different. It's like more of a white chrome type of look. The buttons, the colored buttons off to the right are no longer colored. They're dark gray.
Yeah, that actually is stupid. Because a lot of games show the buttons on the screen with colors, or they have things that associate with, like Boom Boom Rocket comes to mind, where there's arrows that match the colors. And like a lot of the Rock Band things, they have colors that correlate to buttons and stuff like that. It's silly for them
It makes no sense to me. You know what I found out was funny, right? Is it's almost like when I first looked at the image, I really thought that they just like desaturated it for some reason. Because the darkness of each button is actually the correct amount of darkness as if you had taken the colors and just, you know, taken the saturation.
So with this in mind, a lot of the questions that I've seen like in the comments or in I'm talking about like in a joystick article that talks about it, or not even just directly in the article, it talks about, well, why wasn't this packed with the Xbox 360S? Or when is it going to be? And my claim is that it never will be.
Because I don't believe it will, no.
It doesn't have the colored buttons. I think it's intended specifically for fighting game fans who also want an Xbox controller, right?
Correct.
So it can work for everything, but is especially good for fighting games. And, you know, those people won't need the colored buttons, right? So I bet that it won't ever be boxed in with a system, unless there's some, like, special edition system or something that it gets boxed in. But it's not going to become a standard. And what I'm curious about is, why bother with mechanical parts? Who, anywhere, for any reason, wants the diagonals to be real close to the crosspad? Why not just make it, by default, this new funky way where the diagonal areas are descended down?
The crosspad? I mean, in terms of usability, I mean, like, obviously, we haven't actually touched it, right? But there's, like...
I would think that you'd have problems eventually with the cornered part, like,
right.
Or the diagonal part, like slipping back down, like a spring will break or something, whatever.
Well,
it
if
is.
It's if it's mechanical, there's always if it's purely mechanical, which it seems to be, like there's always that kind of risk. But I don't understand. It's just putting all of this resource and attention. It's just like a feature that nobody ever asked for and nobody needed.
Well, we all wanted a better D-pad.
You want a better D-pad, but this is not a better D-pad. This is like a D-pad with like I'm going to think of a great analogy in about 5 minutes. So it's crap. This
you
is
know,
ridiculous.
You know what I'll tell you, actually? Provided that the mechanics of the D-pad allow it, one of the earliest mods will be to just remove the corner pieces altogether.
Yeah.
Just take them off. Unless they're required for the D-pad to like stay attached or something, people are just going to remove them.
Now I've read the video where Major Nelson explains the whole thing, right?
And his sorry, did you just say you read the video?
Yes, I read it. I read it with my eyes.
Moving right along.
Okay. And he explains it as like, okay, there's a lot of games that they basically what they've done is they've piggybacked extra functions into the D-pad, not as any direction, but as actual like function commands that are completely separate for each other, from each other, right?
Yeah.
So like up is make your squad attack, and down is make your squad defend, and left is make your squad, you know, like, I don't know, dance to the left or something.
Or change weapons, things like that.
Stuff like that, right? So the whole like impetus is like, okay, well, you know, if you push the plate down, then it's more like four different buttons, and if you push it up, it's more like a controller where you actually can do sweeping motions. Okay, the part that doesn't make sense is that when the plate is up, you can do everything still, no problem. Do I really need to have like an extra centimeter of depth for me to figure out where the cardinal directions are?
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's always like, you've heard the term fat finger before, right? Like, you misdial a number, yeah. You fat finger.
Look at my fingers. Look how gigantic and fat they are.
I tend to fat finger the D-pad every freaking time I play Street Fighter. Mm. And I can never pull off, like, doing a Hadouken because it just gets my thumb doesn't hit correctly.
Sure.
And so I always end up hitting the wrong buttons because that corner piece is in there. If it were just the directional pad, I would be able to articulate my movements a little better, I believe.
This is really interesting because you're actually saying that you would do better with the exact opposite configuration than they're recommending for you.
Well, that's why whenever I play Street Fighter, I prefer to play on the PlayStation so that I can use the controller, even though people yell at me and say you should be using a stick at any rate.
Oh, that's interesting.
You should be.
That's interesting.
I actually saw a mod today where a guy took a Sega Saturn controller and cut the right half
off
of it.
The arcade buttons, huh?
Yeah, and stuck arcade buttons, a box with buttons.
Yeah, I totally saw that. And you know I prefer to play with the joypad.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but yes.
And even that looked a little too weird to me.
Yeah, no, that was
even for me.
Well...
one last thing about this controller, guys.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's $65.
No.
It comes with a little charger doohickey. Yeah,
normally, it's $50 for a wireless and $20 for the charge and play. The $65 for the thing with the charge and play is the price you get right now at Walmart or wherever. So it's the same price. It's just forcing a bundle.
Yeah, it's only available in the Play and Charge bundle at the moment.
Exactly.
So
we're about to go to break. I want to offer up 10 additional Chatterbox points to whoever can send me an email with an interesting sound snippet of Molly saying, "I tend to fat finger." Go back about 2 minutes in the airing and you'll catch it.
All right, guys and girls, we have returned. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
What do you think the demographic breakdown is for a show? You think there's lots of guys and girls, or is it mostly guys?
There's lots of guys and 3 girls.
All right. One of them sitting here.
I think 3 is being generous.
All right. I think we have a reasonably sized audience, but it's just the breakdown I can't count on.
But you know what? I mean, I have to say guys and girls, not to be politically correct. But because there could be girls listening.
Yes.
And they are worthy of recognition just as much as the guys.
Oh, yes. Certainly. Now, we do have another thing to talk about based on an email that we got this week. Before we do so, again, I want to mention our sponsor, UAT.edu, website for the University of Advancing Technology. Go check them out. Now, we got an email from Kevin asking us about basically, I think the underlying question was, should I feel bad about buying games on the cheap? And let me explain that. He says, basically, I'm a cheapskate, which not a bad thing. I am too. And I buy games, most of my games, like PS3 games, not old school stuff, $20 or less. So new, but $20 or less. So his thought process is this. You go buy a new game, $60. Great. Developer gets their money. What hasn't really been discussed in the media when this whole thing about, do you buy a used game, then the developer doesn't make money, right? It hasn't been discussed, the whole supply chain of money, how it gets to the developer. And there's a lot of relaying before it actually gets to the developer.
There's a lot of middlemen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Developers get a cut, but they get like a percentage cut, and it's pretty small, relatively speaking.
Yeah. In truth, the developer's paid, probably everything's going to get paid before the game ever comes out. Unless he's doing downloadable content and continuing to work for the game. But mostly they get their money. It's pretty rare, I think, that they're getting royalties or bonuses based on sales. Like, it has to do really well for them to get that.
Right. Well, right. It also, I mean, it gets more complicated, right? But I think that, the publisher gets a cut. The developer gets a cut. If there's money going to royalties, it's usually tends to go to, you know, executive level types.
Yeah, not really to the developers. Now, with that said...
Or the executive of the developers.
Okay, so with that said, you still want to get the game, right? Like, the performance of the game means that person will have a future job. And our emailer, Kevin, he takes note of that. He's like, even if I don't pay $60, does it reduce the likelihood that Target will, or Big Box, or whoever, right, whatever retailer it is, that they will buy from this developer in the future, right?
Right.
And the more copies they buy, obviously, the more money gets right. to the publisher, the developer, everybody involved with making the game.
New cheap game you're talking about.
I'm just talking about a new game that becomes cheap because nobody bought it.
Right.
Or because it's still available.
So,
I mean, do you have more insight into this than I do? I could just make up stuff.
Well, I have an observation, which, I mean, you might actually share, but let me just say it anyway. If you buy a game new, and let's say, I mean, I'll give you an example. I bought Muramasa for $20 new at Fry's. Fantastic deal, right? I got, like, let's see, about over 20 hours of gameplay out of that thing. Right?
Okay.
So fantastic deal. You know, because when it came out, it was what, like 50, 60, something like mm-hmm. that?
Was it a Wii game?
It's a Wii game.
$50.
All right, $50. So I bought it new for 20. But when you buy something new for cheap, it's still really, really good because there's a reason why the price is that low. The price has arrived at that point because they have been unable to sell it at a higher price point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't just cut the price. I mean, this has happened repeatedly. If you listen to executives, if they had their way, they would raise and raise and raise and raise the prices of software if they could get away with it. The only reason why they're not is because they don't believe they can get away with it. So the price, when it gets to $20, you know, it started out at 50, you know, it sold a bunch at 50, right? The way a lot of game sales work is that they tend to sell a really, really, really huge proportion at the very beginning of release. So it comes out at 50, sells a whole bunch at 50, right? And then sales start trickling away. They start dying off, right?
Yeah,
and then
trickling is not quite the right word.
You're right.
It completely dies off
right.
after the
right.
first.
It just dies off, right? And then so they're like, okay, what can we do to extract more money out of this prospect, right? Well, one way to do it is to drop the price. So they drop the price. That usually results in a corresponding spike in sales, right?
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens again, right? It'll drop off. And then they drop the price again, right? So when it gets, if it's gotten to $20 new, then the person, the entity selling that product, right, has basically decided that it is not going to sell for a higher price. And so that's actually the most efficient profit for that game at that time for the publisher.
Yeah. Think about this. Let's say you have code that you've stolen from some developer. You paid $0 for it. Or it just magically fell in your lap. The amount of money it costs to produce that physical disc and the packaging and all that and getting it into a retailer, I mean, it's not trivial, but it's a lot less than $20 per disc, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're still making a profit on that. So it's not that they sold a million copies to one retailer. That retailer couldn't sell them all at $60, so it lowered and lowered and lowered, and then that retailer's losing money, and then they don't want to work with the publisher anymore. It's now not always, but it could very likely be the case that they bought a bunch, they sold them all. They bought a bunch, they sold them all, maybe they had a few left. The price drops, they buy more for that reduced price. So the retailer is paying less for it that second time around, and they continue to buy them. Like, the original Street Fighter IV, not Super, I'm sure continued to be purchased by stores even after you could buy it for $20 in some places. Now, you know, that demonstrates, assuming I'm right, and I'm pretty sure I am, that there's still reason to pay $20 for a game. But certainly sometimes it's that they just have too many and they're trying to unload them, in which case, yeah, the retailer's losing money on that.
I do have to say that there are quite a few games that I've purposely waited until they hit that $30 or $20 mark to go out and buy.
You're not the only one, though.
Yeah, one of them being Dead Space. When that hit the $20 mark, I was like, oh, I need to go get that because I played that. I rented it, only didn't really get to beat it. But then I went and bought it for the $20. And when I went to, at the time, I pretty much exclusively bought from Best Buy. When I went to Best Buy to pick it up, I found that there was like one copy left. And a week previously, there, you know, would have been stocked full on the shelves. But, you know, as soon as it hits that $20, everybody rushes out and buys it.
Yeah, and that's because there's actually lots and lots and lots and lots of people, not just you and a few others, who will not buy the product at the initial release price. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
This made me think of another observation, just this second, right? This whole morass about how used game sales are hurting the industry and all the people in the industry who are complaining about it, this is a situation that has been explicitly created by the system of selling retail games that the industry created. They put themselves in that spot.
You mean because they leave the price too high for too long?
Right, because the price is too high, And so people don't buy. They wait until the price is low.
I kind of disagree with that. Like, I partially agree, obviously, but it's not – I think the used games are successful not because they hit the point that the consumer is comfortable with, because the consumer who buys the $55 used game would just as quickly buy the $60 new game if the $55 one wasn't available. It's a question of relativity. So if the game's $30 but the used one's $20, they're going to buy the used one for $20.
Right, but there's always going to be – cheaper games available, though.
But they want a particular game.
There was one instance, now it was just about a month ago, that Assassin's Creed 2 went on sale for $20 at GameStop. And when I heard about it, I was like, I'm going to go get this game because I heard great things about it. Going to go buy it, going to play it. And when I went to the store, they were all sold out of the new $20 copy. But they had a used copy up on the shelf still, and it had that price sticker on it for $34.99. And so I pick up the used copy, and I say, you know, I don't really feel like driving to another GameStop. Can I just buy the used one for the new $20 price? And the guy looked at me and said, no, sorry. If you want to buy the used game, you're going to have to pay the $35 for it. And I'm like,
that's hilarious.
That doesn't make sense.
That's funny. I mean, that's just a... That's an issue that falls through the cracks at a retail place. Like the whole point of the $20 Assassin's Creed 2 was to drive you into the store and get you to buy stuff. So when they run it, it's all about, like, you know, limited quantities, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a business thing. Like, that's not a video game thing at all. They have used copies for the price based on the $40 cost of the game, right? Or price of the game. So it's $35 used, but they had a special running where you can get the new one for even less.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to temporarily change the SKU for the used one, so you get it cheaper.
It really made me question how many people bought the used copy for $35 because they were all sold out of the $20 used or the new copy.
Not many. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They wanted it at $20. That's why they were going in there. But they probably bought something else for $20.
Most likely.
Well, anyway. One of the differences between people who buy used games and new games, by the way, people who are buying used games are probably... You know what? I was going to speak too fast. I was going to say they're probably buying the specific game that they want, but that's not true. A lot of people are still bargain shopping.
Yeah.
And just looking at used games only. Well, anyway.
It's all relative.
Yeah. That is the end of our show. Thank you so much, Aaron, for calling. Everybody, go to PAX. Find me at PAX. I'm going to need contestants. You guys have been emailing me asking to be contestants. I'm not going to do it based just off of email. I will meet you there at the event, and I will pick out the contestants some way or other. And it is going to be awesome. Like it always is. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have a fantastic Chatterbox Treasure Box game show where we give away a bunch of prizes.
What is it? This weekend?
It is this coming weekend.
This weekend.
Sunday at 3:30 in the Serpent Theater. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We'll see you guys there.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.